In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Today we celebrate the great feast of St. Jerome. Very last day of September is dedicated to the feast of St. Jerome. You know who St. Jerome is? He's one of the greatest saints in the church. That's why he's a doctor of the church. He's a doctor of sacred scripture. Sacred scripture, so important. What did St. Jerome do? He was one of the most studious men of his era. Right at the time when the church was finally able to be free within the church in the early 400s, he emerged as a great scholar, one of the few people in the Western church, meaning in anything west of basically Constantinople, west of the Balkans that are there located in. That's the Western church. And he was one of the few people who had an understanding in the whole of the church of all the languages necessary to understand sacred scripture. He was a master of Latin. He was a master of Aramaic, the language that Jesus himself spoke. He was a master of Hebrew. He studied all these things. In fact, he went on a journey and lived out in a cave there, did penance for much of his life just outside of Bethlehem. That's the very city where Jesus himself was born. And he spent all this time going through the scriptures, being a man totally immersed within the scriptures. It can be said, just as we, each of us, should long to be, that he was dripping, soaked so much in sacred scripture that it seemed just ooze off of him, as though it was committed to his very memory, everything that was in there, so he could repeat whole passages, chapters, and even books just from memory. He was a great man who said, if I'm going to know who this Jesus is, then I have to know everything about him. In fact, I need to know everything that led up to him. So I need to know everything in the Old Testament. I have to be so immersed in it. That's why he said so famously, and it's probably the only quote anybody really knows, even among the learned people, that Jerome said, to be ignorant of Scripture is also to be ignorant of Jesus Christ. If we don't know Scripture, then we also don't know Jesus. But what do we do? What do we do when we don't know? We don't have our Bibles with us. It was too bulky for us to carry around the thing throughout the day. How can we continue to grow in our scriptural knowledge of our Lord? How can we continue to grow in them? What scripture do we have with us at all times? Think about it. Think about what scripture we have at us all the time. Yes, we need to pay attention to what the psalmist said in Psalm 118, the 118th psalm. The psalmist, St. David, says, "Thy word, O Lord, have I hidden within my heart, that I might not sin against you." So we have to hide scripture in our heart, memorizing, going over, pouring over it, so that at moments when we aren't able to have a book in our own hands to read through it and go through it, it's already there and available to us at an instant. So the Holy Spirit can recall those things previously studied and make them used to encourage us in our own lives, but also those whom God has put in our path. The other way, the other book of scriptures that we have is what? The Most Holy Rosary. You know, right now we're getting ready to begin the month of the Holy Rosary. That's what the month of October is, the month of the Holy Rosary. We have that beautiful feast day of Our Lady of the Rosary, Our Lady of Victory, which marks that great battle of Lepanto. We'll go there where she drove out the Mohammedans, those Islamists, those who were trying to destroy Christianity and Christendom. If they were successful in that battle, they would have overrun the entirety of the West. Through the power of the Rosary, inspired by the intercession of Pope Saint Pius V, the first pope to wear white, they took the sword of Our Lady, the sword of the Rosary, and by that they were able to utterly defeat and destroy the invading Muslim army that was there. So that's what we need to recognize today. See, St. Jerome grew up at a time where there was no rosary. Our Lady hadn't visited and given that great meditation, but if he were around, he wouldn't have just said ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ, but he would have said ignorance of the rosary is ignorance of Christ. Because what is the rosary? The rosary is nothing other than a pointed meditation, 5 meditations in each full decade. Each of those decades of the rosary is a meditation on some aspect of Scripture. Meditation on the various things of life. We start there with the very beginning, with the Annunciation of our Lord. We have the visitation of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Nativity of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have that moment when Jesus himself was presented in the temple. Then also that time when he was lost in the temple, right when he attained the age of 12. We go through the mysteries of life that are going on there, this baptism, then with his first miracle when he changed the water into wine of Cana. Then we move into the proclamation of the gospel and can meditate on any aspect of the gospels that are there, the miracles, the great teachings that he had there. But then to go and to see him on Mount Tabor, to journey up the hill with him there, to see his transfigured glory that's supposed to give us the courage to take on the next set of mysteries, which comes right after he establishes the Eucharist as a perpetual memorial of his presence with us, which we're celebrating today. We walk the way with Mary. We walk that way through the passion of Christ. We see him there in the garden weeping. We see him there as he is being beaten and bruised upon the scourging of the pillar. We see him there as well as he is suffering the indignities of the crown of thorns, stripped down, beaten. And he has to carry his cross along the Via Dolorosa all the way to the moment when he's finally crucified and breathes his last. Mary's with him at every moment of there as well. Then we journey with her into that unknowing, into the mysteries of the resurrection, all those accounts that we have there that are able to show us there to give us faith. We go through that time when he rises up to go back to his Father, and we think of the reasons we have for hope. And then moving on from there, Our Lady is still at the very center of everything, isn't she? She's there at the center of the Pentecost, the spouse of the Holy Spirit, giving the Spirit to the rest of the church. Then we sit with her and see her own dormition, her own death. But God assumes her body and soul into heaven. And then we meditate on something that's not yet happened yet. The crowning of Mary as Queen of Heaven and Earth. That's a mystery which each of us, God willing, will see from the perspective of heaven, where the crown is finally placed upon her head when God himself raises up his Son to be King, yes, of the universe, but to be realized as he destroys the total work of Satan. As we go through this month, just make sure, yes, we have our scriptures. Yes, we need to read them. Yes, we need to hide that word within our hearts. We need to, so that at times when we don't have it, but especially that we have those meditations in the gospel so that we can more effectively pray and meditate upon the words that give us life in sacred scripture. Our Lady shows us the way because she was present at every single one of those mysteries. In the name of the Father, and in nombre del Padre, del Hijo, del Espíritu Santo. Meditación sobre el Evangelio. Y Juan respondió y dijo: Maestro, vimos a uno escuchando demonios en tu nombre y se lo prohibimos. El apóstol San Juan no le dijo esto a Jesús por envidia de su corazón. En su corazón dijo esto para distinguir el funcionamiento de los milagros. Se preguntó si otros que no fueran de su compañía podrían hacer milagros. Le preguntaba a Jesús si otros tenían el permiso, la autoridad, para hacer lo que Jesús les dio poder para. Para hacer. San Juan sabía que el hombre no había recibido el poder de hacer milagros de la misma manera lo que había recibido. Ni el Señor no lo había enviado como lo hizo, ni siguió a Jesús en todas las cosas. Pero eso que agrega la frase ¿por qué no nos sigue? Para San Juan, ama mucho como el discípulo amado y, por lo tanto, sabiendo cuánto lo amaba, él piensa que aquellos que están fuera de su grupo de discípulos debieran ser excluidos del privilegio de obrar milagros porque no practicaban la obediencia. La obediencia es lo que hace a una persona perfecta. ¿Pero en qué debemos pensar? Deberíamos considerar, por lo tanto, el obrador de los milagros como la gracia que había en el que obró el milagro. Si hizo bien trabajo, lo hizo por el poder de Cristo. Jesús realizó los milagros a través de él. Porque, ¿qué pasará si hubiera tanto los que se enumeran junto con los apóstoles como los que son coronados con la gracia de Cristo? Hay muchas diversidades en los dones de Cristo. Pero debido a que el Salvador les había dado a los apóstoles el poder de expulsar los espíritus malignos. Piensaron que nadie más que ellos solo se les permite otorgarle este privilegio. Y, por lo tanto, fueron a Jesús para preguntar si era lícito que otros también lo hicieron esta. En verdad, Jesús no se le culpa por esta pregunta, porque lo hizo por amor. Pero es ley enseña a saber la diferencia entre los fuertes y los débiles. Y por lo tanto, nuestro Señor, aunque recompensa a más fuerte, no excluye a débil, como sigue, y Jesús le dijo, no le prohíbas, porque Él no está contra ti, es por ti. Es cierto, oh Señor, tanto para José como para Nicodemo, por medio de tus discípulos secretos, cuando llegó el momento, no rechazaron sus cargos. Pero aún si, así, Señor Jesús dijo en otra parte, el que no está conmigo estará mi contra. y el que no se reúne conmigo se dispersa. Expliquemos para que los dones enseñanzas que parecen contra las vuelven a tener sentido. Y me parece que si alguien considera al buscador de los corazones, no puede dudar de que la acción de cada hombre se distingue por el motivo de su corazón. Porque en el otro lugar, cuando dijo, el que no está conmigo, está contra mí, muestra al diablo y a los judíos que se oponen en él. Pero aquí él muestra que el que no viene en el nombre de Cristo, hecho demonios, está en parte de su parte. Es como si Jesús dijera, de parte de ustedes que aman a Cristo, son todos los que desean seguir a las cosas que conducen a su gloria, sintiendo coronados con su gracia. Déjenos, maravillosos, entonces con el poder de Cristo, como funciona de su gracia por medio de los indignos, y los que son sus discípulos, como también los hombres, son santificados por los sacerdotes. Aunque los sacerdotes no sean santos. Ahora, ¿por qué dice él en este lugar que no debían ser obstaculizados, que por la posición de las manos pueden someter a todos los espíritus inmundos? Cuando según Mateo, él se dice a ellos, nunca se te conoce. Pero debemos percibir que no hay diferencia de opinión, sino que la decisión de esta, que no solo las obras oficiales, sino las obras de virtud, se requieren en un sacerdote, y que el nombre de Cristo es tan grande que incluso para el impío sirve para dar defensa, pero no gracia. Que nadie reclame para sí la gracia de limpiar un hombre, porque en él ha funcionado el poder del nombre de eterno. Porque no por tus méritos, sino por tu propio odio, el diablo es conquistado. En el nombre del Padre, del Hijo y del Espíritu Santo.
Just in case you didn't catch it in the homily, at least what I was trying to communicate there in Spanish was that the reason why St. John was wondering, well, why is it there was this man who was there who was casting out demons, but he didn't follow us. It wasn't because he was merely envious of this guy having some power that was there where they stopped him. He was making a real question, saying, what's going on here? Is that all right if somebody does it, even if they don't follow us? The reason, because St. John is the beloved disciple, and so knowing how to love perfectly, knowing how to love at least as well as he possibly could to be called the beloved disciple, saying, I know that obedience is the way we act in love. And so he's not obeying by not following us like you have. Does he have the same authority that we do? And so Jesus corrects him, says, look, if he's not for us, or if he's not against us, then he's working for us. If he has these great graces where he's able to kick out the demons, then where is he getting that from? He's getting that from me. So obviously that's a sign that he at least in this way is working toward us. And also the same thing that is said is to not look at the holiness of the person who's the minister who's there. There's plenty of people who are out there who do all sorts of evil within their own lives, but yet God can still use them. God can still use them. And that gives each of us hope. It gives me as a sinful priest hope that God can do something good in me to help you to find him. And that should give you hope in the sinfulness that you all struggle with day in and day out, that even if you don't got things perfectly and even if you err greatly, that at least if you're willing to let God do something great through you, he's willing too. Remember, just as the same good God that we serve was able to speak his voice through an unrepentant yet powerful prophet and speak to him and correct him through the mouth of an ass, through the mouth of a donkey, so too he can use somebody as mute and dumb as you and I can be from time to time. It's not the holiness of the minister that matters, but rather the holiness of the God who does. He's the one who works all miracles anyway.